So picture this. You've packed the car, the kids' favorite videos are all queued up on the tablets, the adult playlist is pumping through the speakers, and you are just coasting toward the ultimate beach vacation.
Oh, that is the dream scenario right there.
Right, you've got that surreal, massive grin on your face because, I mean, everything is going exactly to plan. But then suddenly, the GPS pipes up. Road closure detected. Rerouting.
And you just take the turn.
Obviously, you take the turn. But 2 miles later, the pavement just abruptly vanishes. Your shocks are screaming as you bounce down this heavily rutted dirt road.
Oh, no.
Yeah, your ETA is climbing just as fast as your blood pressure. And then as the sun dips below the tree line, you round a corner and just slam on the brakes. There is a ferry crossing.
Don't tell me.
It's closed. Closed for the night. You are completely, utterly stranded.
You know, the most painful part of that scenario isn't even the dirt road or the closed ferry. It's the look.
Oh, the look.
The look you get from the passenger seat. That silent, glaring realization from your partner that you didn't actually check the route before you started the engine.
Exactly. And that disaster is exactly what we are dissecting today. Welcome to the deep dive. Our mission today is exploring the world of architectural feasibility studies.
A very misunderstood topic, honestly.
Highly misunderstood. Because if you are involved in a building project, whether you're expanding a commercial footprint, redeveloping a community space, or even just planning a major residential overhaul, jumping straight into construction without one of these studies is exactly like taking that doomed road trip.
It's a recipe for disaster.
It really is. So we're going to map out exactly how to ensure your next big project doesn't go entirely off the rails. And to do that, we've got a really interesting stack of sources today.
Yeah, the contrast between them is great.
Right. So first, we have a recently updated, really insightful blog post from the Hamlin Design Group. It's titled "Construction: How Much Will This Cost?" Answer: Feasibility Study.
Very direct title.
Super direct. And our second source is actually, well, it's an ironically literal roadblock.
I love this part.
So I was trying to pull up an article by KGA Studio Architects to prep for this, and I hit an actual HTTP 429 error page. The platform, Site District, literally threw up a wall that said, "Too many requests."
Basically telling you to slow down.
Exactly. And we're going to use both of these Hamlin's expertise and that accidental tech error to figure out how to know if your project needs this kind of study and why skipping it is basically financially negligent.
What's fascinating here is the psychology behind that road trip analogy. Hamlin Design Group uses it so brilliantly because, I mean, human nature really works against the idea of planning.
How so?
Because the temptation is always to jump right into the fun part. You secure the funding, you're excited, and you want to see the excavators moving, right? You want to hear the hammers swinging.
Oh, for sure. You want to see progress.
Exactly. But skipping the preliminary reconnaissance is how projects end up stalled out or half finished and just completely bankrupt. This isn't just about a bad vacation.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because in Hamlin's analogy, if you skip the planning, you end up at this dingy motel with dull metal keys, right?
Yeah, staring at a cloudy fishbowl in the lobby instead of watching whales on the beach.
It's such a vivid, kind of humiliating image. But let's translate that to the business side. If that cloudy fishbowl represents a ruined building project, is diving into construction without a feasibility study essentially like driving blindfolded just because you're really excited to hit the beach?
That's a perfect way to put it.
But wait, if I have a plot of land and I hire a really solid contractor, why can't we just adapt to the terrain as we go? I mean, isn't dealing with problems on the fly just part of the construction process?
Or yes and no. It is part of the process to adapt to minor things.
Yeah.
But there's a massive difference between adapting to, minor field conditions and discovering a fundamental structural flaw in your project's viability.
Give me an example.
Okay, let's say you buy a lot to build an office addition. You skip the study, you just start digging, and bam, you hit ledge rock that wasn't on the original surveys. Or you discover that the local utility grid literally cannot handle the HVAC load of your new facility. Dealing with that on the fly means stopping construction entirely.
Which means burning cash.
Burning capital at an astonishing rate. You have to redesign the foundation or pay to upgrade municipal power lines, and all the while, your crew is just standing around on the clock. And your loan interest is still accruing.
Wow, okay. So the dull metal keys and the cloudy fishbowl, it's not just a disappointment. It's a completely compromised vision because you blew the budget on a surprise.
Exactly. And honestly, it represents a complete loss of trust. In the car, you lose the trust of your family. But in business, You lose the trust of your board of directors, your investors, your community partners.
I can't even imagine that meeting.
Right. When you have to walk back into a boardroom and ask for another $1 million just because you didn't check the soil composition before breaking ground, that trust evaporates instantly.
So enthusiasm is great, but enthusiasm without a roadmap is a high-speed collision.
Exactly.
Which honestly transitions us perfectly to that literal roadblock I hit, that 429 error from Site District.
The too many requests error.
Yes, I was locked out. It even gave me the specific request ID. I actually wrote it down. It was 1FA3ECE59CA1D92C3B206393F32AE7FDA. Just this massive string of code telling me, you are going too fast. We are shutting you down.
And that is such a brilliant teaching moment. Think about why a server actually throws a 429 error.
To keep from crashing.
Exactly. It's a self-preservation mechanism.
Yeah.
The server has finite resources, right? Bandwidth, processing power. When the incoming requests exceed what it was designed to handle, it throws up a stop sign to prevent a catastrophic system crash.
That makes total sense. So in our scenario, is the feasibility study the stop sign?
Actually, it's the opposite.
Wait, really?
Yeah, the 429 error represents what happens when you do not do the feasibility study.
Oh, I see.
Because a construction project has finite resources too, your budget and your timeline. When you rush in without a study, your project gets hit with all these unexpected variables.
What's a ledge rock?
Like ledge rock, or a sudden change in municipal zoning, or discovering toxic soil that needs remediation. Those unexpected variables are the too many requests. They overwhelm your contingency budget, and your entire project crashes.
It halts completely.
It halts completely. So a feasibility study halts the project before capital is invested to prevent the project performance from failing later.
Okay.
It's inspecting the route pre-trip.
Confirming route validity, finding a realistic view of cost, schedule, risk.
Exactly. They aren't just looking at dirt. They're asking, can you actually legally build a three-story commercial structure here? Are there floor area ratio limits, setback requirements?
But let me push back on this just a
bit.
Does a feasibility study guarantee a completely perfect trip? I mean, will it actually pave that dirt road for me so I don't feel any bumps?
That is a crucial distinction, and the Hamlin text is very clear on this. No. Feasibility studies do not remove all challenges.
Because construction is just chaotic by nature.
It's an inherently volatile industry. The dirt roads are still going to exist, but what the study does is keep you from discovering the ferry after dark.
Oh, I love that. Keeps you from discovering the ferry after dark, so it doesn't pave the road. It just makes sure I'm not slamming on my brakes in the pitch black when it's too late to find a detour.
Precisely. It turns unknown risks into known variables.
Okay, so if we understand the disaster it prevents, let's look at the actual return on investment. Hamlin outlines three immediate benefits to answering that how much will this cost question.
The three big ones.
Right. First is fewer surprises. They say that by detecting issues sooner, solutions are just more affordable. But mechanically speaking, why is a solution cheaper early on?
Because during the feasibility phase, you're just changing lines on a computer screen.
Oh.
It costs almost nothing to move a digital wall 2 feet to the left. But if you skip the planning and your contractor finds a conflict in month 6 of actual construction, you're tearing out poured concrete.
You're paying for demolition, ruined materials.
Labor delays.
Yeah.
It is exponentially more expensive to solve problems in physical reality than in the digital realm.
Makes total sense. Okay, benefit number 2 is more control. Hamlin says the study helps you discover and compare options, like should we renovate or add on, or should we phase the project versus doing it all at once?
Which frees you from your own rigid assumptions.
What do you mean by that?
Well, often a client comes in and says, we absolutely need a brand new building. But a rigorous study might run the financial models and reveal that gutting your current facility gives you the exact same square footage, but yields a 40% higher net present value.
Oh, wow. So it's a massive financial pivot.
Exactly. Or if capital is tight, it shows you how to phase it. Build the shell this year, fit out the upper floors 3 years from now. It gives you the control to base decisions on hard data.
Which brings us to benefit 3, investor buy-in. Giving boards, funders, and partners confidence that is actually rooted in professional findings.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this is really where a project lives or dies.
Mm.
Banks do not underwrite risk based on your enthusiasm.
They want the data.
They want a bulletproof business case.
But here's the thing. If I'm a business owner, I don't know how to run a comparative cost analysis on commercial HVAC systems.
No, and you shouldn't have to.
Right. Hamlin says this should be led by an architect who understands how buildings are delivered from start to finish. But what is the architect actually doing? Are they just drawing the map?
They're doing much more than that.
Hmm.
The architect brings in civil engineers, structural engineers, cost estimators, and all those specialists have competing needs.
Like what?
Like, the mechanical engineer wants massive ceiling space for air ducts, but the structural engineer needs that exact same space for deep steel beams to hold up the roof.
I see.
The architect resolves those clashes.
So, what does this all mean? It sounds like the architect isn't just drawing the map. They are essentially the ultimate air traffic controller.
I really like that analogy.
They make sure the engineers and the cost pros don't crash into each other, all while translating this complex radar screen into plain English for the investors. Is that fair?
That is highly accurate. They synthesize all those dense engineering reports into a cohesive narrative so the client doesn't have to become a construction expert overnight.
Okay, but if you're listening to this and planning a relatively modest project, do you need this massive level of air traffic control?
Well, most projects need some level of this work. It's not one size fits all.
Yeah, and Hamlin Design Group actually provides a specific tool for this. On their site, they have a feasibility worksheet PDF. It's a quick 152-kilobyte download, and it helps you correlate the level of feasibility work you need with the actual complexity and risks of your specific project.
And we should mention, the firm providing this tool has some serious credentials.
Oh, absolutely. They are based at 915 Broadway, Suite 302 in Albany, New York. And they are an award-winning design firm.
Serving community organizations, urban developments, state universities. These are clients with incredibly strict budgets and intense scrutiny.
You can't just wing it with a state university budget.
Not at all. And their certifications back that up. They are New York State Minority Business Certified, an AIA member firm, and they are NYC SCA pre-qualified.
What does that last one mean?
The New York City School Construction Authority pre-qualification is notoriously rigorous. It proves they can handle immense bureaucratic complexity. But maybe even more impressive is their Living Building Challenge JUST certification.
Right, that sounds like a serious environmental standard.
It demands rigorous accountability, social equity, material health, ecological impact.
Yeah.
When a firm operates at that level, they aren't just looking at the price of lumber. They're building a highly sophisticated matrix of variables for the entire life cycle of the building.
And you can see the physical proof of that in their featured project, the Stephen and Harriet Myers Underground Railroad Interpretive Center.
Talk about a complex project.
Right. I mean, here's where it gets really interesting. With all these heavy-duty certifications and a massive cultural project like the Underground Railroad Center, it proves a fundamental point, right?
Which is?
Whether you're building a huge interpretive center or just adding a wing to a suburban office, the fundamental rule of the road trip remains exactly the same. You absolutely have to check the route before you start the engine.
The stakes might change, but the physics of planning do not.
Yeah.
That interpretive center didn't break ground on enthusiasm. It broke ground because a rigorous study proved to the historical society, the city, and the funders that the site was viable and the budget was realistic.
Exactly. So to wrap all this up for you listening, whether you are looking at a new building, a renovation, or just a change of use, the ultimate answer to that burning question, how much will this cost? It entirely lies in the feasibility study.
It's the only way to know for sure.
Right, because planning ahead prevents you from handing out dull metal motel keys when you promised everybody a whale-watching beach vacation.
You owe it to the people who put their trust in you to take the blindfold off before hitting the gas.
100%.
But you know, this does raise one final provocative thought for you to ponder.
Let's hear it.
We know a feasibility study maps out the road,
right?
It checks the costs and zoning laws to prevent you from discovering that ferry after dark. But we also live in an incredibly complex world.
Sure do.
Sudden road closures, like unexpected macroeconomic shifts, rapid material shortages, those can happen even after a thorough study is completed.
Oh, that's a terrifying thought.
Right. So the question is, how often should a project's GPS be actively refreshed during the actual construction journey to ensure that the original feasibility study doesn't just quietly become an outdated map?
Wow, that is a brilliant thought to leave on. The map is only as good as the day it was drawn, so stay curious, keep planning, and we will see you on the next deep dive.